Jesus, this worship, lifting you, is how we fight our battles. Lord, we thank you for the truth of that while we feel like we're alone and we feel like we're surrounded and we feel like giving up, not only are you here, they won the battle. And so, Lord, we seek you today. We want to live in faith and trust in you today. And we want to glorify and exalt you today. Jesus, thank you that we get to worship you. Thank you for the privilege of being your sons and daughters. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice and your life. And thank you that you are alive and here and present in our world. And so, Lord, help us to tune in to who you are and to what you're doing in our community and all the world around us. Jesus, we seek you. We want to glorify you. And we want today to be about you, not about our battles. And so we lay the battles at your feet. And we ask that you would be honored. Jesus, we love you, we worship you, and we praise you. And we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. How are you guys? I miss you guys. Couple of Sundays in Haiti, and I feel like I haven't been here in forever. Really weird. Well, welcome to Harvest. I'm certainly glad that you're with us this morning. If we haven't met, my name's Brian. I have the privilege of being one of our pastors, as I just alluded to. I have been on a mission trip in Haiti. We'll share a little bit with you today. We're going to share more with you next Sunday. A lot of our team will help share that story. And God did some amazing things, and we just want to say, thank you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for giving. Thank you for providing gloves and tools and all kinds of things that we needed for the trip. Amazing things happened. I'll share in a minute about a little bit of that. But we're so, so thankful that you went on mission with us, because certainly 13 of us went on the trip, but you went on this trip in your prayers, and you went on this trip in your gifts, and you went on this trip in your mindset, your energy, your thinking about it. And so thank you for being a part of what God is doing. I want to highlight just a thing or two for you, announcements, and then I want to jump back in to the message. Inside your bulletin is a communication card. We'd love it if you would fill one out. We ask everybody to fill one out every week, and we would love to know what's going on in your world. And so please fill it out. Drop it in the basket in a little bit. Again, we're not just trying to get information or know who was here in terms of attendance. We really want to know what's going on in your world, and how can we walk with you and pray for you and support you. And so if you've got a prayer request, please share that on the backside. If there's a next step or a question you've got, anything like that that we can help with, please let us know. You might notice we have June bookmarks. It's already today the third? How is that possible? Yes, it does. It does. 3rd of June. And so we're reading through an overview of the Old and New Testament together this year, but we'd love if you'd jump right in. Maybe you haven't been in your Bible lately and you want to get right back in. You're not sure where to start. Just jump in with us in 1 Kings 6. Great place to read. We'd love to have you reading the Bible every day. It's one of the most transforming things you can do in your life, is to spend time in God's Word. And so we would love to have you join us in that. You might know a couple of weeks from now, we've got a baseball game on the books. The point's not just to go support baseball, although that's fun. The point's to have some fun together, to hang out together and connect with each other. And so we'd love to have you come and go to the IMS game with us if you're interested in being a part of that. Tickets, again, $10 each. We'd love to have you connect with us in that. We have plenty of tickets, and so let us know on your communication card if you want to go. Or if you want to go ahead and pay for your tickets, you can write IMS tickets and put that in the basket, and we'll get those reserved for you. So lots happening these days. School out celebration, a bottle and can drive. We're fundraising for students to go to camp. Maybe you want to help with that. I believe there's also a Papa's Pizza thing coming up a couple of weeks from now, and so great things happening in our student ministry. Steve, we love having you on the team, man. We'll give it another 6 weeks and kind of see. We get 6 weeks at a time, right? And it's all good. It's all good. We love having you here, bro. You're doing a great, fantastic job. And we love our students here. So maybe you want to help support some of our students, go to camp with some bottles and cans or help us fundraiser or a cash donation, something of that nature. So why don't we pray together again? Jesus, we're thankful today for what you do and for all you do. And we're thankful for your word and the way your word speaks to our lives. Jesus, we know that our worship centers on you and around you. But among other things, a big part of our worship of you is the way we study your word. And so, Lord, we ask that as we dig into your word today, that these would be more moments of worship, moments where we allow you to speak into the deep cracks of our hearts, and we allow your grace to flood our lives in a fresh way, and we allow you to bring about the transformation and the miracles and the healings that are needed in our lives. So Jesus, please, use your word to speak to our lives today. And Lord, as I often do, I make it my prayer that you would make the most of this moment as we make much of Jesus today, that you would speak, Jesus, please. Please, Lord, change us from the inside out. We pray in your name. Amen. So as I mentioned, we had an incredible time in Haiti and trip to Haiti. Thank you for those of you who got the message and prayed for our bags to arrive. You might have heard we made it to Haiti, but our bags did not. And so thankfully, we only had to wait one more day after that, but we did get our bags, and after 3 days in the same clothes, you kind of, you know, you smell real fresh. More importantly, some amazing things happened on the trip. I mean, more amazing than the projects we were able to get done is just the work that God does in your own heart and your own soul. You return with fresh perspective on our world and fresh perspective on your family and our life, and I am so thankful. Nonetheless, along the way, we were able to do some amazing things. We were able to love on the kids and spend a lot of time with the kids. That's always a great thing. We'll have pics and all of that next Sunday. We were able to tear down and replace moldy ceilings that were in labor and delivery. And so very similar area to what we worked on last year. Last year, we worked in the area of pre- and post-op for labor and delivery. This year, we were actually in the labor and delivery rooms. Ceilings are wooden, covered with mold, rotted, and collapsed in some cases. We tore all of that out. Demo took, I don't know, 3 hours or less. Demo day is always fun. And so people covered in mud and dirt and yuck. And then we got to the work of figuring out what needed to be replaced in the roofing structure and then building frame and support work for ceilings and then putting ceiling panels up and painting and all that goes into that. In addition to the new ceilings in labor and delivery, we were able to replace the roof on a house, fix the roof on another house, paint a house, and do some ceilings in some of the business office as well. And we really believe with all our hearts this is about more than paint and ceilings and wood and structures. It's partly about inspiring hope. I'll just give you a quick story. One of the gentlemen who worked with us last year on our construction team is a young man named Kendall. Kendall works in the labor and delivery recovery area. That's his normal job for the hospital. But he spent the week with us last year doing construction. So we were able to ask this year, did it make a difference? Did it change how he saw his role in interacting with the birth moms and with the patients in the hospital? And Sean, who runs the hospital, said absolutely, that his attitude changed because the environment changed, because he had ownership in what was going on there. Does that make sense? And so we're not just replacing ceilings, we're inspiring hope. We're putting hope and love and grace back into a situation that so badly needs it. So what I want to do today is I want to challenge us. We're beginning a new series today. I want to challenge us to embrace the mission trip in front of us. Now that some of us have gone to Haiti and returned, I want us to embrace the mission trip that is right at our doorstep. Because you don't have to leave town to go on mission with Jesus. You don't have to hop on a plane to go on mission with Jesus. And you don't have to be in another country to go on mission with Jesus. I don't know if you've noticed, but the needs are all around us, literally right next door. Right next door, we have a skate park. Right next door is a huge park. In fact, the chances to minister to our community every single day of the week. Right next door are neighbors and friends who need to understand so desperately that they are loved, that God loves them, that God cares, that Jesus is not who they sometimes think he is. And so I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks with you talking about embracing and living on and joining the mission trip next door. Now, you might have heard, the stewards have gifted me with a sabbatical later this summer. 3 weeks from now, I will begin a... 2 weeks from now, from tomorrow, I guess. I will begin a 12-week sabbatical. And I already feel the impact of that in my own heart and soul. Primarily in the sense of, I miss you guys already. It's weird. But I do. It's like, okay, there's time ticking. But I believe with all my heart that God is going to work this summer, not only in me, but in you. And I believe with all my heart that God is up to something in this sabbatical, and he's up to something in our church. This isn't just for me or something that happens in me. This is something for all of us. Now, one of the great questions we've been asked along the way as we prep for the sabbatical is, what does it mean for Harvest? Is Harvest just going to go on, like, pause this summer? Like, there's no Brian, so what's the point? I hope not. Because if Harvest is only about Brian, we're in trouble. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't gather together for Brian's sake on Sundays. I sure hope not. And so we're not just going to coast through this summer. Our team has an exciting summer plan, doing what we always do, helping our county, helping our cities find Jesus, discover who he is, and become followers of Jesus, where they follow him with heart, soul, mind, and strength, where they learn to love God with everything they've got, where they learn to love people the way Jesus loves people, to love your neighbor as yourself, and where we learn to love the world the way Jesus loves the world. We've got an incredible summer planned of loving Lane County into a real relationship with Jesus. And my prayer and heart for us is that Jesus would see our faith. And in seeing our faith, that Jesus would forgive sins in a big way. Let me show you a little bit of what I mean. If you have a Bible, I want you to open it with me to the early in the New Testament, to the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 2. If the Bible is new to you, if you can find the beginning of the New Testament, you have Matthew and then Mark. And so very early in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we're in Mark chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. We keep Bibles on hand. There's a ton back in the back. You can feel free to take one of our Bibles, write your name in it, just consider it yours. It's our gift to you. So this is what Scripture says. Again, Mark chapter 2, and it only follows that Mark chapter 2 comes right after Mark chapter... Right. And so Mark chapter 1 is kind of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It starts with John the Baptist and how John the Baptist was announcing that the Messiah was here and how the Messiah was coming. And then Jesus goes out and is tempted for 40 days. You probably have heard that story before. He calls the first disciples and then he begins to work and do ministry and drive out evil spirits. And he gets alone and he prays and he heals a man with leprosy. And then Mark chapter 2, we're very, very early in the ministry of Jesus now. I mean, we're in the first days of what Jesus did as God, as Savior, as all that Jesus is. These are the very early days. And it says, Mark chapter 2, verse 1, that a few days later, allergy season, right? A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. It's kind of an odd statement. Capernaum not necessarily being his home. It was Jesus of Nazareth, right? But it seems like by this point he had set up some home base in Capernaum. This was likely where Peter and Andrew were from. In fact, the home we're going to read about today very well might have been a friend of Jesus' home, a guy named Peter, and one of his followers. And so when they heard that Jesus had come home, so many people gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So here's the picture. People gather in this home to hear Jesus, and they flood inside. And the home's not big enough to contain everybody, so they flood around the outsides. And, you know, you got open windows, and you've got area around it. And so the area around it is filled with people, all wanting to hear what Jesus has to say. And it says some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, a man who was paralyzed, a man who could not walk. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. And think about how desperate this man's situation was. Couldn't do much for himself, paralyzed in body, quite possibly paralyzed in heart, soul, mind. I'm going to suggest to you today we all get involved in the kind of ministry these guys do, but I would say if you look around our community, you see people who are paralyzed all the time. It's just not always physical. But the battles that trap us that we were singing about before are often paralyzing to our souls, to our minds, that trap us and make us feel like I can't do anything or God can't do anything. And so some men came bringing to Jesus a paralytic, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, what a nice problem to have, right? They made an opening in the roof above Jesus. This is one of my favorite stories. So these guys are like, look, we're not going to let this hold us back. No excuses here. All right, how can we get them to Jesus? Well, we can start a fire, right? We can yell, call in a bomb threat, right? What if we just climb up on the roof and dig through it? You don't think the homeowner will mind if we do that, right? So they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. The roofs in that day were often made of a kind of thatch and tiles. And so it didn't completely destroy things, but they were able to get up, unroof the roof, it literally says. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, making quite a mess, I'm sure, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And here's the key phrase. This is just powerful. When Jesus saw their faith, Whose faith? Who's they? Yeah, the friends. The people bringing the man. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. It's the very first time Jesus has said in any public fashion that he can forgive sins. The very first time he's pronounced that. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Exactly. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking such things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Which is easier? Obviously, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. They would have considered it blasphemous because it's a claim to be God, which he is. But it's easier to say it because how do you prove that sins are forgiven? But if you say, get up, take your mat, and walk, one of two things is about to happen. Right? Either the man's going to get up and walk, or Jesus is going to look like he's got a lot of egg on his face. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man, the title he gives himself, has authority on earth to forgive sins, that you may know this, that I can forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. I bet not. So here's the story. You have these four guys, and likely some other men as well, who care enough about this man who's paralyzed that they simply know if they get him to Jesus, Jesus can do something. And so they have the faith to say, no matter what, whatever it takes, whatever we need to do, we're going to get this man to Jesus. And we'll see what Jesus does. And then you get this thing where Jesus is saying, well, hey, your sins are forgiven. And that was a big deal. But he heals the man as well. Also a big deal. And what we want to challenge you to do today, and the one thing that this entire message is about, the whole point of today's message is this, that I want to encourage you this summer to join the mission trip next door, to go on mission with Jesus, because Jesus forgives and heals in big ways when we all get involved. Jesus forgives and heals in big ways when we all get involved. Now, when I say all get involved, I literally mean all of us. I want you to think how it would have gone if one friend came carrying the man to Jesus. Still would have been powerful, right? But he would have gotten there, found that the house was crowded. Maybe he has the man over his shoulder or on his back. He certainly wouldn't have been able to carry him on his mat. Maybe dragging one end along. Maybe. It wouldn't have found this solution by everybody getting involved in this who were this man's friends. Powerful things happened here. Jesus forgives this man's sin. And I want you to unplug from just a minute from how normal that sounds to you. Because if you've been in church very long, some of you have, if you've been in church much of your life, then hearing about forgiveness of sins just sounds like, yeah, that's what Jesus does, you know. He forgives sins. Yeah. I want to take you back to understand what a big deal this is. I want to take you back. I want to take you back to the biggest sin you've ever committed in your life. That's not God's way of looking at sin, by the way. That's our human way of looking at sin. But you got it. I got some. I don't have to take you back very far. You don't have to think back to the worst thing you've ever done in your life. Hey, just think back to the worst thing you've done this week. How'd you feel? And I know we all want to, you know, we deny, we defend, we say, but if, you know, if God understood, if people really understood how difficult, and we make excuses, and we, but the bottom line is, we all blow it in big ways all the time. Jesus says, knowing full well what it would take for that forgiveness to happen, Jesus says, I forgive you. This is a powerful moment. Not just for this man, but maybe for us today. In fact, for someone here today, I'm certain that there is a sense of weight in your life and heaviness from something you've done or something you haven't done, something that you just feel awful about. And there are things in your heart and mind and soul that weigh over your spirit and keep you awake at night and make it difficult for you to function. And Jesus came and gave his life to lift that from you, to set you free. For your sin to be canceled, put away, written off, and literally sent away so that it is no more. So what's really at stake? If we're going to talk about this summer, and well, Brian is on sabbatical, which doesn't mean that I'm not working. It just means I'm working in a different way. It means I'm working at resting. I don't know if that makes any sense. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But in doing so, I still believe Jesus is going to work, not just in me, but in us, don't you? And I don't, it's not like I intend to cease being a Christian this summer, right? Jesus still wants to use my life as well, and so I want all of us to join this being on mission with Jesus where we are praying for him, bringing friends and bringing people we care about and helping people discover how great the forgiveness of Jesus is. I want us all to join in on that because Jesus heals and forgives in big ways when all of us get involved in that. I mean, think about what's at stake here. Number one, what's at stake for this man? What's at stake for our community? Number one, my friends, wholeness and healing is at stake. Their literal wholeness Their sense of well-being is at stake. Their sense of being whole and formed and all that God intends is at stake. And for that matter, so is mine. But Jesus sees this paralyzed man, a man whom many people would have looked at and written off. A man that most people in that culture, in that day, in that time, would have seen as useless. Would have seen as maybe even condemned by God. After all, people could have looked at their own lives and said, "That's not me." As though somehow God favors those of us that can walk and disfavors those with brokenness in their lives. In fact, the religious culture of the day certainly would have looked at the man and said, "You know, you did something to really offend God, you or your parents or someone, and because God is offended at you, that's why you are what you are." And a lot of people around us in our culture think God thinks the same of them. That he doesn't care. That they're broken and messed up. That their lives will never have hope. And what's at stake for this man with these friends is his healing and wholeness. And they bring him to Jesus. Jesus says, "Well, hey, you know, your sins are forgiven." Calls him son. And that's powerful in and of itself. "My child, your sins are forgiven." Implies relationship. And he does it because these four men, the other men with him that came bringing the man to Jesus, they had faith that Jesus could do something. I don't know about you, but when I think about us as a church, I think, let's be a church for people who need this. Let's not be a church that convinces our culture that they're broken and it's their fault and God doesn't care. Let's be a church that convinces people that, yes, they are broken. We're all broken, us too. And that God cares so much that he can make us whole again. And that's not just a message for our friends. That's a message for you and I. Because I may be walking, but as my body reminds me frequently, there are still physical things that are broken in my life. And if you think there are physical things broken in my life, I mean, anybody feeling the allergies right now? Yes. Welcome to Eugene, where everybody has allergies. That should be like on every billboard. I don't think they would advertise that, but, you know. A lot of us have emotional allergies where we're broken on the inside, where the stimulation that affect us make us feel so ugh on the inside. Some of us have mental or spiritual allergies where there are things that attack us and we feel so messed up. And Jesus came and gave his life not only for my wholeness, but my friends and family and those I know in the community. Number two, what's at stake is my friends' forgiveness and freedom. Not just their wholeness and healing, but their spiritual wholeness and healing. Not just the sense of physical things and emotional things that need to happen in our lives, but this spiritual problem we've all got. And so, again, let's be a church that when Jesus sees our faith, that he might say to our community, "Sons, daughters, your sins are forgiven." How powerful would that be? You know, I think so often we underestimate what Jesus can do. I am so guilty of it, just being honest. Right? It's super easy for me to fall in the trap of looking at the next 12 weeks and going, "Well, you know, it's going to be great, but it's just going to pass by, and summer's going to come, and everybody's going to go on vacation, and nothing's really going to happen." And well, if this is a human endeavor we do at church, then that's quite possible. But I got to believe that what God does here through and in Harvest Community Church, and not just Harvest, but churches all over our city, that what God does is way more powerful than a human endeavor. Wouldn't you agree? And if God is at work in our city and in our lives, then we don't need Brian. for Jesus to forgive sins. Jesus died to forgive sins. He didn't say Jesus plus Brian. Just being honest. And when it comes to forgiving sins, Jesus is all in. Jesus said, again, son. If this had been a woman, he'd have said, daughter. Your sins, personal. Forgiven. But you got the, you know, teachers of the law and the Pharisees and those that were there, got them all up in arms about how dare Jesus say something like this. But for this man, when my sins are forgiven, all the hatred I've had towards God because I was born this way or because something broke in my life and my life has stunk. By the way, one of the powerful things that happens when you go on mission with Jesus is your eyes get taken off you and you begin to see others. You begin to see needs of others and you begin to see the reality. You know, it's very easy to go to Haiti and look around and you suddenly realize they have no complaints. But when we live on mission every day of our lives, we can see the same. That there are people around us dying in need of forgiveness, pretty literally. And again, when it comes to forgiveness, Jesus is all in. Jesus knew full well what he was saying when he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Because he knew what was coming. And if you don't believe that, I want you to go back to chapter 1 and his temptations that he faced when he was tempted. Because that's all about skipping his life and the cross and the resurrection. In fact, Scripture says this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. This was the Old Testament's way of reflecting the fact that blood was needed to cleanse sin. And that's a harsh concept for us to kind of in a Western modern way to kind of understand. But in their way, they understood that there needed to be the blood of another. Jesus said to his disciples just before the crucifixion, this is, remember they took the cup, right? Took the supper, took the cup. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus knew full well what it would take, and he was all in. The sins could be covered over, taken away, pardoned, put off, sent away. That this picture of forgiveness could be full and complete for this man. For us as well. For our friends as well. So let me ask you, got any friends that are struggling? Friends that need healing? Friends who wrestle with how broken their lives are? Friends who need to know how much Jesus really cares? Friends that need forgiveness? You got any? Seriously. Write a name down. And begin praying about what God would do this summer. Right there. Right there. Number three, what's at stake is our communities knowing the real Jesus. That Eugene Springfield, and not just Eugene Springfield, but Coburg and Vinita and Cottage Grove and Cresswell, and that our surrounding region would know and understand the real Jesus. And Jesus was new on the scene at this point in time. In the story we're reading, but he's not new today. Most people in America have heard the name Jesus before, and they already have an opinion. What I find is that their opinion is often based in something that's not based on their own experience. It's actually most people's opinion of Jesus who reject him, their opinion is based on their experience with other people who follow Jesus, who don't always live like it. Who don't show love and mercy and grace. Who don't reflect the Jesus of Scripture. Most of our community thinks Jesus is a myth or irrelevant or a fraud. Some in our community think Jesus is judgmental. that Jesus would only care about good people or religious people. And that couldn't be, nothing could be further from the truth. When you read the real story of Jesus, his time was not spent on the religious. Well, when he spent time with the religious, he spent time arguing with them about how much God loves people who are broken and messed up and sinful. What's at stake in this mission trip next door is people's real understanding of the real Jesus. We have the chance this summer to love people into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. That's powerful. But this isn't solely about the people around us. It's also about me in this sense. Number four, it's about my own growth in faith and my own growth in the purpose of God for my life. What's at stake here is my own growth in faith and my own growth in the purpose of God in my life. Because most of us show up at church needing something. And we come to church and we come to the Lord knowing I need something from God. Anybody? Been there? Know what that feels like? Okay, but what we discover along the way when we begin to read our Bibles and we begin to pray and we begin to plug in and connect, what we begin to discover along the way is that certainly it's not about me and my needs alone. It's about this larger work that God is doing. And one of the things that happens in our lives as you and I begin to grow in faith, and you and I begin to grow, is that as we take steps of growth, steps like reading my Bible, steps like having a time with God where he speaks into my soul, steps like connecting with other people, it's not only do I realize it's not about me, but if I'm going to grow, I've got to plug into this bigger thing that God's doing. I'm going to be straight up honest with you for a second. You good with that? Straight up? Oh, straight up. Okay, a lot of us say, you know, I just don't feel like I'm growing these days. I just don't feel like, in fact, occasionally, you know, not always here, but I hear from plenty of pastor friends that you get this sense of, well, I'm not growing in my faith, so maybe the church isn't. You know, they're not teaching enough, not teaching deep enough, not teaching the right things enough. I've got the shallow Jesus love center stuff, but I need to grow. And I'm going to be straight up honest with you. If I never get out of the zone of me, where it's beyond my needs and my forgiveness, I won't grow. There is an absolute lid in all of our lives that happens that prevents growth. When I say, it's just about me and my needs. And you can read your Bible till you're blue in the face. And I am very much a proponent of reading your Bible. Don't mistake what I'm saying. But you can read your Bible till you're blue in the face. And if it's all about you and only about you, there's a limit on your ability to grow. And so my ability to grow has something to do with plugging into the mission that God is doing and taking my eyes off me and my needs and seeing the needs around me. And this isn't just true of us as individuals. This is true of churches. Have you ever been a part of a church that just says, all about us, don't care about them? Let's not be that church. Let's be the church with the eyes and the heart for our friends, for our neighbors, for those around us, for the kids across the street at the skate park. For those that use our parking lot as a place to park and leave trash. Let's see our community as people Jesus loves. And so this challenge for you that I'm laying out today to join the mission trip next door sounds like something, and specifically as I get into this and we finalize the message, this is going to sound like I'm asking you to do something. Like I'm asking you to give time. Like I'm asking you to put energy and prayer in. Like I might even be asking you to throw some money on the table or something. Yes, but not for your sake. For the sake of what God is doing. But in that, when you give yourself and you serve and you begin to do what God is doing and you reach out, you begin to grow. I want you to think about all the people in this story. the people who were listening and how their faith was grown, the people who brought the man and how their faith was grown along the way. I mean, these four men climbing up on the roof, digging through it, wondering, one, is the homeowner going to be okay with this? And two, is Jesus going to be all right with this? And they're lowering the man down on the mat, having no idea if this is going to work. And Jesus says, when he saw their faith, he says to the man, your sins are forgiven. Do you think they were affirmed? Do you think their faith grew stronger that day? Absolutely. So let's be people of faith. And I don't think it was just these four. It says some men came, bringing a paralytic, and then it says, later, carried by four of them. My impression is, when I read it, and I read it honestly, that there was a group bringing this. So I have three goals for you, three challenges and goals for the summer of 2018. I'm just going to lay them out for you. Number one, everybody serves. Everybody. Let's all live on mission. Everybody serves. Everybody finds a way to pick up a mat. Everybody finds a way to carry someone to Jesus. Everybody finds a way to help someone discover that Jesus loves them and cares about them. Everybody finds a way for their roof, maybe to be unroofed if necessary. Man, somebody owned this house. It's very likely that this was Simon Peter's house. Simon Peter was one of Jesus' first friends and one of the men who followed him deeply, who later became a leader in the early church. I don't know about you, but this sounds pretty inconveniencing. And somebody had to go fix the hole in the roof after the fact. Somebody had to serve. Our goal and our challenge to you is everybody serves. Everybody throws out time. Find what you do. Find something to do. I mean, one of the amazing, amazing things about us kind of in our American life and is that I read this the other day and it really stood out to me. This is great. Many of us want to change the world, but we aren't willing to change the toilet paper. Right? It's called serving for a reason, right? There's got to be a place where we bend the knee, where we bow, where we lower ourselves. So what we're doing this summer is we're forming for the summer four teams. And I think I have those listed for you in your notes. Are those in your notes? You got those? Four teams we're forming for the summer. Team Outreach, Team First Impressions, Team Connect, and Team Projects. Let me explain those real quick. Team Outreach, its purpose is to invite others to Harvest in Jesus as well as execute outreach events. We want some of you to get involved in that. For that matter, we want all of you to get involved in that outreach. In fact, today, right outside, we'll have snacks outside, and then opposite that, another table under the pavilion, we've got all our kids' outreach events kind of listed for the summer. And again, this is in place of what we normally have done and what we've done in previous years at sports camp. We're taking it, instead of 1 week of serving opportunities, we're spreading it across the summer. And so maybe you want to help out and say, I will support, I will help, I will get stuff, I will prep, I will help pull off these events. I will invite someone to Jesus. If that's you, Team Outreach is for you. Team First Impressions, the point of Team First Impressions, the purpose is to help guests and regular attenders experience Jesus and grace so that they want to come back Sunday in, Sunday out. That's everything from leading worship to greeting at the doors to being in parking lots saying, we're glad you're here, putting out signage that helps people know where to go. I don't know if you've noticed this, but our campus is kind of confusing when you're new. And so we need to give out those good first impressions, help people experience Jesus and His grace so that they want to come back. Team Connect. Team Connect's purpose is to follow up with first time and second time and returning guests and connect them to Harvest through groups and teams to help everybody know they're cared for through life's up and downs, that everybody would know they belong. We want to challenge some of you to join in and jump into Team Connect. And Team Projects, we didn't know what to call this one. I mean, it could be like the administrative team or the team whatever else needs to be done team or the team whatever it takes team. I you call it what you want. But Team Projects is literally, tell me what needs to be done, we'll work on it and get it done. I give you just some examples of projects. Like literally right now, we need sprinklers turned on for the year. In summer, you probably turn some sprinklers on at your house, maybe not. but we're going to have some really nice brown grass right out here real soon. That's a project, right? And the projects, you think, well, now, come on, that's not helping people find Jesus. Absolutely it is. I mean, let this field out here grow to about 3 foot tall of weeds and see how many people we help find Jesus. Right? It's about first impressions again. It's absolutely about showing our community we care. Taking care of the campus, right? Walls that need to be painted. Lights that need to be fixed. So team projects, team connect, team first impressions, team outreach. We want to challenge you today. I'm not asking you today to sign up for one of these teams. We are putting sign-up opportunities available for outreach, for the outreach events we're doing. But today we're asking you to take this week and pray about where you will serve. Goal number one is everybody serves. Goal number two is that nobody serves alone. Nobody serves alone. In this story, four men came, probably more, bringing this man to Jesus. There's power in belonging together and serving together. One of the great things about mission trips is when you're pounding nails next to each other, you're painting next to each other, you're fixing sprinklers next to each other. God does powerful things when we serve together. Jesus forgives and heals in big ways when we all get involved. And number three, we serve with heart, and that heart is whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Let's serve with heart. Whatever it takes. I want you to think about this. When the sabbatical idea came up, we began to think about Brian and Brian's time, and one of the things we had to work through as leaders is, what does Brian do and how do those things get done? Right? And so we made lists of all the things Brian does. Went back to the job description and said, here's the categories of things Brian does. Craig and I spent a lunch poring over what Brian does and all the things Brian does. And my tendency was to go, okay, we're going to put a list out, and then here, and here's a name. Brian does this, and here's a name. Brian does this, and here's a name. Staff member so-and-so will do this, and staff member so-and-so will do that, and steward so-and-so will do this. And we'll get all these things covered that Brian does. And I quickly began to realize that that's a pretty bad idea. That's a pretty bad way of looking at it. How about we all do what Brian does? Because we expect that our pastor will lead us, key word, lead, but will lead us in reaching out to our community, making good first impressions, helping people experience the grace of Jesus, following up with them to ensure that they can connect and plug in and grow in that walk and relationship with Jesus, begin to develop relationships in the church. And, you know, when the weeds begin to grow and the sprinklers don't get turned on, do you know who people call? Brian. So how about we all do that? I mean, I could work 50 whatever hours a week, you know, just like you. But I want you to think about if say, 150 of us get involved in an hour or two a week. That's a whole lot more than Brian's hours, wouldn't you agree? And a whole lot more powerful. Because Jesus forgives and heals in big ways when we all get involved. My challenge to you today, very specific, spend the week praying about how you get involved. You good? All right, let's pray together. Jesus, we're thankful for your grace and your goodness. We're thankful that we get to be on mission with you literally next door. And so show us what it means and show us how we do that. Show us how we plug in. Speak to our hearts about how we plug in to these various teams. More important than the structure of the teams is that we plug into the mission that you're doing. Jesus, show us how. Put people on our hearts. Put people in our path that we can love on and show grace to and build a relationship with and invite them to you, not just to Harvest. Lord, help us to be a part of that team that you look at and see our faith and forgive and heal in big ways. Do that this summer, Jesus, please. Lord, some of us today might need a fresh wave of grace or forgiveness, or maybe a first wave of grace and forgiveness to wash over our lives. And so, Lord, I don't want to let go of this moment without giving us a chance to receive grace today. Lord, if anyone here needs you in their life, maybe they would, in faith, pray with me now. Echo this in their heart, dear Jesus. Thank you for coming to our world dying for my forgiveness. Forgive my sins, please, Jesus. Make me whole. Heal me. Take over my life, Jesus. Be my God. Be in charge. And Lord, use me. Help me to plug into what you're doing. Work in my life and my friends' lives. Work in all our lives, Lord. Please, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Missed you while I was in Haiti. We're going to take our offering. As we take the offering today, I want to remind you of a couple of things. We are continuing to take the Harvest 365 offering as well. Many of you have probably seen, we've kind of stalled a bit lately. We have the roofing project on the calendar for about a month from now. So maybe you want to pray about, continue to pray about your role in helping make that happen. This story we read today, they unroofed the roof. We've got a roof to re-roof. We've got to re-roof the roof. All about helping people and kids find and follow Jesus. I remind you of your communication card. We'd love to hear from you. If you prayed to follow Jesus for the first time, please let me know on the card. I'd love to talk with you about that. So glad you're here today. Let's prepare our hearts.